Money Talk.
This is Akashwani. In the program Money Talk, now we bring you a discussion on key takeaways from RBI's annual report 2025-26. The participants are Shishir Sinha, economic analyst, and Rajesh Lekh, anchor.
Good evening and welcome to Money Talk. My name is Rajesh Lekh. Today we unpack the Reserve Bank of India's annual report 2025-26, its data, policy signals, risks, and what it means for the markets, banks, businesses, and your savings. Joining us is economic expert Shishir Sinha. Shishir, thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much.
The RBI highlights slower credit growth but rising retail loans in 2025-26. Is this a structural repricing of risk or a cyclical reallocation of bank balance sheets?
I think if you go by what we call as the personal loan or the unsecuritized loan, there we have seen a good growth there. One reason could be a very high growth in the gold-based loan. And that is something which is really putting some pressure on the balance sheet of the banks because the prices of gold is going up. So, and also default is very high in that situation. In terms of the other loan, if you talk about the corporate loan, the advances growth are slightly okay, not very much, but it is just okay. And it is in line with the investment being made by the private sector. We all are discussing that private sector investment is a bit slow than what it was expected. And that is also reflected in the loan book of the balance sheet. At the same time, you also have to go about the deposit also, right? Because whatsoever money you are lending to the various people, you are getting only from the depositors. And there we are finding that the growth in the deposit rates are slightly on the lower side. So that is why the pricing of advances are becoming a big issue for the banks. And that is why you must have seen that during FY26, banks NIM, that's a net interest margin, whatsoever they earn and whatsoever they pay, the difference between these two is NIM. NIM was under pressure and many of the banks registered lower NIM. So this is how the things are going on in terms of advances as well as in terms of deposits.
Shishir, the report also flags elevated corporate leverage in select sectors. Which sectors are most at risk and how imminent is a credit stress episode for them?
If you talk about various sectors, of course, MSME is one area where we are finding some stress. And the reasons are obvious. One is, of course, if we talk about the last 3 months because of the war situation, they are facing some stress. And that is why government has come out with the Emergency Credit Line Guarantee Scheme. Mm-hmm. And there we found that the MSMEs are putting good amount of application for getting collateral fee loan under ECLGS. One problem which MSMEs always face is the delay in the payment. Government has repeatedly asked various institutions, even the PSUs, that there should be a 45 days kind of thing where you need to make payment. But that is the area where the MSMEs are facing problem, or rather I would use the word stress, and that also reflects in their repayment cycle. But one good thing is there that they are good in making payment. Of course, there could be some stress, there could be some payment, but as compared to the large corporate, the MSMEs or the small borrowers, track record is much better. So one area which is facing some stress is, of course, the MSME. Then, of course, we have seen aviation sector is also having some stress because of the capacity constraint and because of the fare thing. We are finding that airline sector is also in, and not all the airlines, but at least two or three airlines which require good amount of working capital, they are in some kind of stress. This is next one. And then there are some other sectors, but these two, three are the critical one in terms of stress.
RBI points to an improvement in bank asset quality overall. How much do that improvement, the improvement that the bank is talking about, sustainable versus the result of one-off recoveries and write-backs?
I think that NPA, if you talk about the gross NPA or the net NPA, the good thing is that on both the front, we have seen strong reduction, good recovery is there. And also we are finding that if the write-off is going off, even there, the recovery is something slightly on a better. I'm not saying very, very encouraging one, but slightly better as compared to the previous years. So when your non-performing asset is down, that means you have to make less provisions. That is something which is very critical for the bank balance sheet. And when you have to make the less provision, that means your profitability will improve. And there you can have some more money for improving your capital, and that will convert into higher lending. So that's a cycle which is going on. So reduction in the non-performing asset, whether it is gross or net, it is also converting into good growth in terms of advances to various sector. Of course, the advances growth is not that much high, but still it is showing some improvement. If you talk about 10 to 11% or 12% growth, which is slightly on a better side, double digit growth in the advances is something is better, and that is also coming from that NPA reduction.
Okay. Inflation, let's touch upon that, remained within the tolerance band, according to the report, yet the report signals upside risks. Which inflation drivers should retail investors and policymakers watch most closely now?
So in India, we track two inflation. One is, of course, the WPI, wholesale price inflation. Then the second one is the retail inflation, which is based on the consumer price index. So from the policy making point of view, retail inflation is the benchmark. And there we are finding that it is less than the median rate. Just to our listeners, I would like to highlight here that the inflation targeting says the inflation should be between 2 to 6% with a median rate of 4%. So for a long time, we are seeing that the inflation is below the 4%, which is a good thing. And that is why we are not seeing much change in the what we call as a policy interest rate. After the 4% reduction, we are not finding any change in that as of now. Now, when we talk about the upside risk, I believe that RBI report is talking about upside risk in the current fiscal. One, of course, the biggest upside risk is, of course, the war, West Asia crisis, and also the Russia-Ukraine. Mm-hmm. Of course, the Russia-Ukraine war has now lesser impact as compared to the West Asia, but still it has impact, especially on the edible oil. And when we talk about the West Asia, we have the impact on the fuel. So it's a combination of food and fuel, which is causing some pressure or some upside risk to the inflation. At the same time, we have seen that during last 1 month, there are four revisions in the retail prices of petrol and diesel. That's more than 7 rupees per liter in petrol and diesel. That is going to have impact on the retail inflation in the coming month. The number which we are going to have for the month of May on 12th of this month, and then we will see higher inflation in the month of June. So the expectation is that it may touch 6% during the first half of the current fiscal, which is FY27. That means before September 30th. Now, the bigger risk is the El Nino crisis, that the monsoon. We all know that monsoon is something which is the lifeline of Indian farming sector. Yeah. And if the monsoon is weak, I mean, what the numbers which has roughly estimated from 90%, which is one of the worst in the century. It is not something which is in a decade or something like that. And if it comes true, I mean, we can pray that it should not. But if it comes true, that means your agriculture productivity will come down, number one. Number two, at the same time, rural demand will also get affected. And number three, combination of fuel prices, higher fuel prices, having the multiplier effect on the overall prices.
So you said 6% inflation, it could go up even further.
Yeah, it can go up to 6% in the current. And that's not just my estimate. The estimates which are given by various economists. And that is why the RBI report is talking about the upward risk. So one is, of course, the West Asia crisis. And third, the consequent impact on the rural demand as well as the agriculture production.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the RBI stance on liquidity management, which shifted during the year. Do you, Shishir, read the report as signaling a bias towards tighter liquidity going forward? And what would that mean for bond yields?
If you just see the preamble of RBI, one of the key aspects of RBI preamble is to check the monetary supply. And why monetary supply is to be checked? To check the inflation. So if the inflationary expectation is high, what are the ways, what are the tools available in your hand? One is, of course, you can raise the policy interest rate. That's a very easy thing to do. The second one is, of course, the raise the CRR. The third one is the mop up the excess liquidity from the market. So at this moment, what we are seeing that RBI will certainly go for a slightly tighter liquidity thing. But if you are talking about a capex of more than 11 lakh crore, if you have to provide hand holding to the private sector, then the liquidity should much be more than what is estimated. Now, coming to the bond yield, of course, the bond yield is on the higher side, and not just in India, but overall, globally, you will see US or UK or European market, everywhere we are seeing the yields are on the higher side. Even in Japan, it is on the higher side. So this is nothing unusual. But of course, this will have some impact on the interest rate. As of now, we are expecting that the RBI may not go for any change, at least in two policy. One, which the announcement will be made on 5th of May, and the second, which we are expecting in the month of August. So these two policy meeting, we are not going to see change in the interest rate despite higher yield. But after that, inflation rate is more than 6% or even 6%, then we may see some interest rate action, and that will have impact on the yield because both are inversely related.
While Bank, you talked about the El Nino effect, etc. In fact, the RBI report emphasizes climate-related financial risks and greening the financial sector. Are Indian banks prepared for transition and physical climate risk, or is this largely an aspirational effect?
See, the problem with the green financing, of course, it is a very fashionable word, and it seems to be a very intellect word also, that when we talk about the green financing. Problem is, who is the taker? I mean, government launched a sovereign green bond, and it was a very good initiative because the projects which are going for environmental related or anything which is going to have positive impact on the environment, they are going to have more and more resources available under them. But we did not find much taker from the sovereign green bond. And that's the government has already accepted it. It's not, I'm saying that, government has already accepted it. Now the banks are ready to provide some financing for the green project as well as the various green initiative. And the companies are also looking for that, because I will just add one line that SEBI regulation says that the top 1,000 companies are supposed to come out with the ESG report. That's the environmental and social governance report. And under that, they have to talk about 3P. That's the people, planet and the profit. So whatsoever they are doing for the planet, they have to disclose it. Now, when they have to disclose it, they will try to include more into the green element in project. You will also remember one thing. We just had the IPL tournament. In the IPL, there was a big campaign about the green dot balls. So as many dot balls we have, they will plant trees. So that is something also related with, because for that you need money. It's not something that is coming free of cost. So these are the initiatives which are being planned, and the companies are taking some innovative route, but not much we have seen in terms of going for this kind of financing.
Okay, on fiscal risks, Shashir, RBI notes contingent liabilities and state-level debt dynamics. How worried should markets be about the fiscal monetary mix ahead of the next budget cycle?
Many of the states are having a problem because of some freebies, what we call as. And because of the freebie, they do not have much resources. So they rely on the market borrowing to provide money for a different expenditure. So there we are finding that that's a really concern on that side. At the same time, we should also remember that this year, because of the reduction in central excise in the month of March, there is expectation that the central excise collection or the overall collection will go down, but the fertilizer subsidy will go up. So you have the central finance and you have the state finances. So combination of these two are also something the market is slightly thinking about. So when an investor going to the market, it will have certainly in mind that what kind of financial strength a central government has or the state government.
The RBI also suggests, Shashir, that there should be a continued focus on improving access to credit for MSMEs. What practical policy or operational steps will most effectively close the MSME credit gap?
So if you see MSME thing, the government has just come out with the fifth version of ECLGS, which is the Emergency Credit Guarantee Line Scheme. And the scheme which was announced on 5th of May as approved by the cabinet has seen a very good response. That means the MSMEs are looking for financial support from the organized sector. And that is also going to help in that bringing down the cost of operation. Because if you are going to the unorganized sector for financing, that will, your cost of operation will go up. Already there is an issue of competitiveness. So if the cost of operation is up, that competitiveness will also be impacted. So MSME financing is something very, very important thing. And the good news is that more and more banks are encouraging their people to go and lend money to the MSME. And of course, those MSMEs which are really what we call as an eligible MSME or financially better position or their repayment record is better, we are finding them that the banks are ready to pay that. And if I go by the last 5-7 days, many of the bank MDs have said that we have got 600 crore rupees, 700 crore rupees worth of application from MSME. So even if we take 10 people are talking about 700 crore each, that means 7,000 crore worth of loan going to be dispersed among the MSME.
Thank you, Shashir. Those were very clear and actionable insights. And to our listeners, the RBI's annual report is more than statistics. It maps risks and opportunities that affect loans, savings, and the wider economy. Appreciate your perspective and your time for us. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
You were listening to a discussion on key takeaways from RBI's annual report 2025-26. The participants were Shishir Sinha, economic analyst, and Rajesh Lekh, anchor. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of Akashvani. You can listen to it on our mobile app News on AIR.
Money Talk.